This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The conditions in regards to this powerful testimony, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. It's established that this is the key to Jannah, but every key has ridges. And you need to have the right ridges in place to be able to open the door that you want to open. Otherwise, the door is not going to open. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us entry into Jannah. Ameen. So the conditions are deduced from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know this poem, Sulam al-Busul of Sheikh Hafidh al-Hukami. He basically brings the conditions in two lines, and it's easy for us to remember these conditions. He says, Al-ilmu wal-yaqinu wal-qabulu. Al-ilmu wal-yaqinu wal-qabulu wal-inqiyadu. Fadri ma-aqul. Was-sidqu wal-ikhlasu wal-mahabbah. Wafaqaqallahu lima-ahabbah. Let me repeat. Al-ilmu wal-yaqinu wal-qabulu wal-inqiyadu. Fadri ma aqul. So he basically says, knowledge, al-ilmu, knowledge. Wal-yaqin, certainty, conviction. Wal-qabul, acceptance. And al-inqiyadu, submission and following. Fadri ma aqul. So listen carefully to what I say. Was-sidqu, truthfulness. Wal-ikhlasu, sincerity. Wal-mahabba, love. Seven conditions. Wafaqaqallahu lima ahabba. May Allah help you to do that which He loves. So the first condition, my dear brothers and sisters, is al-ilm, knowledge. So when we say knowledge, what do we mean? I mean, is it the broad definition of knowledge? Is it basically seeking knowledge? Here, when it is said knowledge, primarily what it means is that it is in the sense of negating what is negated in the Shahada and affirming what is affirmed therein. When you say La ilaha, you're negating. There is no deity worthy of worship. And then you are affirming Illallah. We don't just stop with negating. Then Allah forbid you become an atheist. If you say there's none worthy of worship, then basically you don't believe in God. La ilah, you negate and you empty your mind and your heart. La ilah, there is none worthy of worship. Illallah. And then you go on to affirm, except or but Allah. So in the sense of negating what is negated in the Shahada and affirming what is affirmed therein. And this is contrary to being ignorant of that. Now there are some who would be like, you know, I choose to be ignorant. I don't want to, you know, have knowledge in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Noble Quran, fa'alam, know. And fa'alam, the command, it is in the imperative form, fa'alam. It is derived from ilm, from knowledge. Know, be aware, or come to know, annahu la ilaha illallah, that indeed there is no worthy of worship except, there is none worthy of worship other than Allah. There is none, la ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. And again, if you recall the hadith that I mentioned a while ago, Uthman radiallahu an, he reports, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported, said, man mat wa huwa ya'lam. Look at the wording of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He who died, man mata, he who died, wa huwa ya'lam, knowing, the same verb is used. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, he who died whilst writing or saying, no. Man mata wa huwa ya'lam, he who died knowing, knowledge, knowing, annahu la ilaha illallah, that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, dakhul al-jannah, will enter paradise. So this hadith, and like I mentioned earlier, it's recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, it affirms this first condition of ilm, of knowledge. The second condition is yaqeen, certainty. So certainty in the sense that the one who articulates these words is absolutely certain of their meaning. Faith is not sufficient unless it is based on conviction. There can't be elements of speculation. There can't be doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Noble Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Indeed, or إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, only those are the believers, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have believed in Allah, وَرَسُولِهِ, and His Messenger, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, and after that, afterwards, they do not doubt. لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, they don't doubt. رَيْب يَرْتَابُوا, comes from the root raib. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. When talking about the Quran, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, no doubt in it. Likewise, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, they believed in Allah and His Messenger, and afterwards, they doubt not. This ayah is in Surah Al-Hujurat, the 49th chapter, ayah number 15. So from this, we understand that the sincerity of the faith of an individual in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is conditional upon the fact that there should be no elements of doubt therein. As for those who doubt, those who constantly doubt, you see, you have, like I said earlier, al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus. Your iman rises and drops. So during such junctures, it's important for us to quickly rejuvenate ourselves. And this is why Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for reminders profit the believers. And just like we charge our devices at the end of a day, regardless of how big a battery you've got. Maybe it can be 4,000 or 5,000 milliamperes. You still have to recharge the device after a day or two. Similarly, we need to rejuvenate ourselves. We need to recharge ourselves. Spiritually feed ourselves. It's important to feed ourselves. Otherwise, we end up feeling that vacuum, that emptiness within us. And if we don't address it, that doubt grows like a black spot on our hearts. It grows and grows and grows until eventually it engulfs the entire heart. May Allah protect us. We have a narration that is recorded, if I'm not mistaken, in the book of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumallah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah, and that I am the Messenger of Allah. For no person meets Allah with these two, i.e. believing in Allah and His Messenger, not doubting in them. Look at the wording, very crucial wording there. Not doubting in them. And here we're talking about doubts. Not doubting in them, but he will enter paradise. According to another report, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, no person meets Allah with these two, believing in Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not doubting in them, and is he going to be denied paradise? No person meets Allah with these two, not doubting in them, and is he going to be denied paradise? In other words, he is going to be granted entry into Jannah, definitely. We also have the hadith where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, it's a lengthy hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he calls for Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and he tells him, whoever you meet, ya Abu Huraira, behind this wall, who bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah, believing in it with certainty in his heart, believing in it with yaqeen, certainty, second condition, in his heart, then give him the glad tidings of Jannah, the glad tidings of paradise. Moving on, condition number 3. Al-Qabul wal-Inqiyad. 3 and 4. It is basically acceptance, Qabul, and then submission. So to accept what these words imply, to accept it in one's heart, I mean to start off verbally and then to accept in one's heart as well. You need to accept it, qabul. When you say la ilaha illallah, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah, you accept it and you accept what it entails, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prohibitions of Allah azza wa jal, you accept it, qabul. Because when you articulate and when you bring in this testimony of faith, you can't bring it in and then say, you know what, I don't accept what it comes with. No, you need to accept the commandments of Allah, the prohibitions of Allah, the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have an authentic hadith where Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the guidance and knowledge with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me is like abundant rain, is like an abundant rain which falls on the land. Beautiful metaphor, abundant rain which falls on the land. Some of the land absorbs the water, this blessed rain, some of the land absorbs the water and brings forth much lush grass and vegetation. Some of the land absorbs the water and produces plants, produces trees, produces vegetation. And some of the rain falls on another part of the land, which is like a smooth plain, and it does not hold the water, so no vegetation grows. Like, let's say if you've got a tar road, if you will, a road that has been tarred. Now when it rains, what happens? It doesn't hold water, obviously, and the water runs away. And then what happens? Nothing grows there. That is the likeness, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say, that is the likeness of the one who understands the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, and benefits from that which Allah has sent me with. So he learns and he acts upon it. And the likeness of the one who pays no heed and does not accept the guidance of Allah with which I have been sent. So you see the two examples basically. So the land that accepts the rain, absorbs the rain. Qabul. The word qabul. It accepts the rain. So you need to accept the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. And then you'll see prosperity. You'll see abundance. You'll see productivity. You'll become this individual that produces luscious grass and vegetation and plants. On the other hand, you have lands that are like smooth plains, hard as a rock, that do not absorb anything, that do not accept anything. So the water just runs on top of it. It's almost like this oleophobic coating that they put on some devices and glass and windscreens where raindrops fall and it just runs away. Allahu Akbar. So the likeness of that is like the one who pays no heed and does not accept the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-qabul, we need to accept it. Condition number 4 is al-inqiyad. And this is to follow. You accept la ilaha illallah and that which it entails, and you follow it, you implement it into your life. It would not suffice for you to say, I accept it, but I'm not going to follow it. Then what happens is, you remember at this point, the flaw, the folly of shaitan. He accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he did not follow through. He did not adhere to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important that you accept and follow al-inqiyad. You cannot choose to accept and say, I'm not going to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not going to adhere and stay away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. So it's important that we internalize this. We have an authentic hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, None of you truly believes until his desire, until his or her desire is in accordance with that which I have brought. Now this, my dear brothers and sisters, is the ultimate meaning of following. Look at the words of the Messenger. None of you truly believe until his or her desire is in accordance. In other words, you cannot desire, you cannot wish for something that is not in accordance to that which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought. So that's condition number four for you. Condition number five is as-sidq, truthfulness, as opposed to lying. Now, obviously, when you look at it, look at this term in its broad sense, you're not supposed to lie. And lying is frowned upon. It is impermissible for a believer to lie. And here, we're talking about it specifically in regards to one's faith. When one says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, sincerely from the heart, there needs to be this harmony between what is in the heart and what is said on the lips. Otherwise, if there is kidhb, which is the opposite of sidq, falsehood, if there is lying in place of sidq, then that individual is defined as a munafiq. May Allah protect us from nifaq, hypocrisy, where you say one thing, there is one thing on your lips, and there's another thing in your heart. Do you not think that the term munafiq is what suits such an individual? And there were many of those during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would come to the Prophet and say all kinds of things. Oh, we believe in Allah, we believe in you, O Messenger of Allah. Whilst they had the complete opposite. They had a completely different agenda in their hearts. So there needs to be this sense of truthfulness. You need to have sidq. Sidq needs to be in place and not kidhb. In regards to the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So this is of utmost importance. Moving on, so we're done with sidq. And just before I conclude on that particular point, we have a hadith again recorded in the book of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, he says that there's no one. So the Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said, there is no one who bears witness that there is no God except Allah and that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his slave and messenger, sincerely from the heart, with truthfulness, this condition of sidq, with truthfulness from his heart, except that Allah will forbid the fire for him. Allah will forbid the fire for him. So that's condition number five for you. The sixth condition is al-ikhlas, sincerity. And this is a foundational principle when it comes to our deen, my dear brothers and sisters. And this is defined in such a way that your actions need to be free from any element of shirk. Your actions need to be free from all elements of shirk. As in associating partners unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you might be wondering, well, I believe in Allah and I haven't associated partners unto Allah. When you go deeply into al-ikhlas, you'll understand that shirk also entails doing something for someone other than Allah. Doing a good deed for someone other than Allah. Let's say for example, if you gave out charity, okay, seemingly you console yourself and you justify it to yourself that you're doing it for the sake of Allah. But in reality, deep down, you know that you did it for the applause of the community that you are living with. Let's say you're just doing it for the applause of society. You're doing it to be on the cover of some magazine. You're doing it for the pomp, for the spotlight. Now what you've done is you've basically associated community, you've associated that applause, the fame, along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You didn't do it for the sake of Allah. You did it for the people. So you've associated them along with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say you go to the masjid and you're there for every single prayer, but you're not doing it lillah, You're not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're doing it so that you are known in the place where you live as a righteous individual, as a religious individual, so that the people in the masjid look up to you and they respect you. Oh, he's there for all five prayers on the first saf, basically the first row next to the muadhin. Now there too, riya, the concept of riya takes over ikhlas. You're doing it for show. You're doing it for name and fame, for pomp and glitter. May Allah protect us. So in terms of our deeds, we have to be extremely careful, and it's a work in progress. We have to constantly keep recalibrating our intentions and reassessing our intentions, because shaitan, he waits for that tiny window of opportunity to jump in and contaminate our intentions, because he knows that if he succeeds in doing that, all of our deeds become distorted. So it's of utmost importance that we work on sincerity. When we say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, saying that, we do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And from there, from that point onwards, all of the commandments, adhering to the commandments of Allah, staying away from the prohibitions of Allah, adhering to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. Ala lillahi ad-dinul khalis. As Allah says in Surah Az-Zumar, surely the deen, i.e. worship and obedience, is for Allah. It is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have an authentic hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu an. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the most deserving of my intercession, the shafa'ah of the Prophet, the most deserving of my intercession are those who say, La ilaha illallah, sincerely from the heart. Sincerely. Ikhlas. Khalisan. Sincerely from their hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do our deeds, perform our deeds, adhere to the commandments of Allah, stay away from the prohibitions of Allah, adhere to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, sincerely, with pure ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah. Ameen. Condition number 7. Al-mahabbah, love. Now, love too, you know, it's a very broad term. And there are so many shades of love. You have love between spouses, you have love between a mother and her child, a father and his child, you have love between siblings, you have love between brothers, you have love between sisters. So many shades of love. The source of love, the fountainhead of love, the creator of love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purest form of love, the purest form of love is loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So condition number 7 is to love Allah, to love His word, to love His messenger, because they go hand in hand. You cannot say, I love Allah, but I don't love the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nor can you say, I love the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but I do not love Allah. You cannot say that. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. If you love Allah, you love the messenger. If you love the messenger, you love Allah. If you love Allah, you love His word. If you love the messenger, you love His sunnah, His teachings, what He came with. We have an authentic hadith, and I hope you were observing. For every point, we backed it with evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "La yu'minu ahadukum." None of you truly believes until, and listen to the words of the Prophet carefully, until I, i.e. the messenger, until I am more beloved to him than his son, than his father, and all of mankind. So you need to love the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way, my dear brothers and sisters. So as you can see, these are the 7 conditions that need to be in place. These are the ridges, my dear brothers and sisters. So when you say La ilaha illallah, huwa qawlun wa fi'lun, It's a statement along with action. And it entails these conditions. So for this episode, we discussed pillar number one, Shahadat an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. We have a few more points to discuss in regards to this pillar, and then we will move on to pillar number two, inshallah ta'ala, in the next episode. I look forward to talking to you all soon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khairah for tuning in. Do share the video around so that others can benefit. This is Mu'izz Bukhari signing off. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.